Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, November 22nd. Coming up on today's show, we check in with QP local shop steward Pat Lakis to get her reaction to a ratification vote from 10 of 11 QP locals on Friday. And we talk with Dr. Suzanne Dupuis-Blanchard, the driving force behind Nursing Home Without Walls, a pilot project that has been running out of Port Elgin's Westford Nursing Home and which features prominently in the province's new two-year healthcare plan. But first, some other news and information. New Brunswick Public Health reported 157 new cases of COVID-19 on Saturday and Sunday. The number of active COVID-19 cases has climbed to 640 in the province, with 234 in Zone 1. On Sunday afternoon, there were 32 people in hospital with COVID-19, and 18 of those are still in intensive care. Last week, Health Canada approved a Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for children aged 5 to 11, and the province says it expects the first shipments of this pediatric vaccine to arrive this week. The rollout will not take place in schools, but in clinics similar to the rollout of the adult vaccine. More details will be coming this week from the province. Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell says she's encouraging New Brunswickers to start having family conversations about how vaccination works and how it protects the health and well-being of families, friends, and classmates. The washroom doors at Tantramar Regional High School will be back on their hinges this week, following a decision announced Friday to change tacks on preventing vaping and vandalism in student washrooms. On Tuesday, TRHS removed the outer doors from student washrooms, leaving only the interior stall doors for privacy. After a small student protest and an online petition that garnered nearly 350 signatures, the decision was reversed on Friday. Principal Susan Lafford wrote to parents outlining new ways to keep vaping and vandalism at bay, including regular washroom checks and limits to the number of students allowed in a washroom. On Friday, the Canadian Union of Public Employees announced that 10 out of 11 New Brunswick locals had ratified the deal on offer from the province. One local, representing school custodians and bus drivers, voted against the deal due to concerns over language in the agreement on pensions. But Local 1253 has agreed to continue working while further negotiating that agreement with the province. On Sunday, I called up local shop steward Pat Lakis to hear her reaction to the ratification votes and the end of the strike action. Pat Lakis, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So the strike is over and a deal with all but one local is ratified. Now, I know that's not your local directly, but do you get the sense that the agreement with 1253 will get worked out without further job action?
I think they're quite willing to sit down at the table and work out just some of the language in the agreement and, you know, go forward from there.
Right. Okay, that's great. Now, do members seem genuinely satisfied with the contract that they've ratified? You heard from your fellow members?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had our vote last week and members were quite happy with the agreement and satisfied, especially with the economy the way it is. And we haven't seen this type of a contract in probably two decades.
Right. You're actually seeing some keeping up with inflation sort of raises that year over year.
Just barely. But yeah, it's a lot better than zeros and ones
right
every year. So, yes, the members are satisfied and happy to be back at work. And I think the community as a whole is much more settled and, you know, ready to move forward.
Now, strikes can sometimes cause divisions and leave lasting effects. How do you feel this one affected you and your colleagues?
Well, for me, it was a real learning curve and quite empowering. And it brought myself and my colleagues a lot closer. You know, we formed some bonds that will just be unbreakable for going through this experience together. And I think that's a real bright light you can take away from this strike.
All right. You feel stronger as a union afterwards.
Absolutely. We knew what we had to do. We had the people in place to do it, and we got the job done. But we couldn't have done it without the public. The public was amazing, and their support meant the world to us every single day. So we're very, very thankful to the public.
All right, Pat. Well, I mean, congratulations on a successful resolution to the strike and the job action, and congratulations on a contract. And now you're local, you're with the school support staff, an educational assistant.
Yes.
How soon will you now be back at the table?
Oh, this contract that will be signed today or tomorrow will run out in about a year and 3 months.
Okay.
So they'll be back to the table within 6-7 months, which is a little frustrating, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we wish you luck with the next round. You get a 6-month break. Okay.
Oh, hopefully longer.
Yeah. Okay, well, many thanks, Pat, and again, congrats, and hopefully we won't be speaking to you again too soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
That was QP local shop steward Pat Lakis. Last up on today's show, Nursing Home Without Walls is a pilot project that's been running out of 4 nursing homes in the province, including the Westford Nursing Home in Port Elgin. Last week, Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd announced the program would be extended and expanded for the next 2 years as part of efforts to improve senior care in the province. Dr. Suzanne Dupuis-Blanchard is research chair in population aging and a full professor of nursing at Université de Moncton. She came up with the idea for Nursing Home Without Walls, and I called her up last week to find out more about how the project works and why it's needed.
Dr. Dupuis-Blanchard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You are involved with bringing nursing homes without walls, the project, to New Brunswick in the first place. Can you tell us a bit about the concept behind it?
Yes, certainly. So this is an idea that comes directly from research that we were doing on aging in place and listening to older adults talk to us about the needs that they had, what it took to age in place, their difficulties in accessing services, and then having sort of a brainstorming session between myself as a researcher, as well as the New Brunswick Nursing Home Association, and kind of looking at, well, how do we keep seniors aging in place, but at the same time, look at the continued role of nursing homes and the sort of the transformation that's needed as we continue to focus on keeping seniors at home. So, and driving back from Fredericton and to Moncton and started thinking, well, you know what? Nursing homes are in many of our communities, be it rural or urban, French-speaking, English-speaking, and with proper resources, they could likely provide different care or different services than they currently are. And that was the birth of it. I presented the idea at an annual general meeting, and afterwards people just came and said, we think this is the way to go. We think this is doable. And it started very little. It started with a phone call after that from a nursing home here in New Brunswick that was interested and said, Suzanne, let's do something about this. Let's implement Nursing Home Without Walls. And my response was, well, this is just an idea. There's nothing to implement yet. And it's grown from there.
And so who was that first home that that called you up to get it started?
It was a home in the Acadian Peninsula in Inkerman, and they are actually part of the pilot project right now. And they were the original home. The administrator there, who has retired since, but you know, gave me a call and said, "We'll figure it out. Let's start by talking to seniors in our community and see what their needs are, and we'll decide, you know, if the nursing home can help them." And so we started doing groundwork. We did some focus groups in the community. We had over, I think it was 65 or 70 seniors and their caregivers come out and tell us what it is that they needed to be able to stay in their home. And the timing of getting Healthy Seniors Pilot Project funding, which was announced in the federal budget in 2018, for the province of New Brunswick, had been announced in the process that we were doing that, and everything just aligned. I have to say, it was one of those things where I had four nursing homes that were ready to say, okay, let's try to implement something, even with limited funding, let's try and see what we can do. And the announcement for possible funding came out, we applied, and we're successful, and so we've been piloting it in four communities here in New Brunswick, and from there we've seen the success and these latest announcements.
All right. And one of those communities is in Port Elgin, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Great, yeah. Success in Port Elgin with the project.
And so the project basically consists of the nursing home sort of develops a bit of an extramural component that it goes out to assist seniors living in their own homes and provide services that way?
Yeah, basically that's pretty much, you know, I envision sort of the walls opening up and having that additional staff, which I really want to put emphasis on, because we know that nursing home staffing issues and all of that, and this is really with additional resources. I would never want to implement nursing home without walls without any additional resources. So this has been the basis of the pilot work. And so with additional staff, yes, they've been able to reach out to seniors living at home. And a lot of it, especially in the Port Elgin area, has been focused around connecting seniors to services that are already available but that they don't know about. And a lot of guidance, a lot of accompaniment, sort of that navigator model of navigating the health system or the social development system so that they have access to services. But also addressing one of the big concerns about aging in place is also around social isolation. And so in addition to, you know, connecting people to services and whatnot, there's also a component really looking at the social health and of seniors and making sure that they have opportunities to engage with the community, to, you know, we've done intergenerational projects that were successful. We've done even exercise programs and things like that to get people out and to socialize. And to be able to do that, it also requires access to transportation, which we do offer as well.
Yeah, it's interesting how there's a health focus to this, but it ends up touching every other aspect of life, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. When we talk about health, it's health in a very large dimension or definition, because health, if we think of the social determinants of health, health includes housing, it includes income, it includes having access to appropriate meals, you know, social support, feeling that you, you know, you can engage in your community. And these are the things that we're coming out with. I mean, we've helped out seniors who needed repairs to their roofs and windows and things like that. And, you know, our staff was able to find the appropriate programs where people could apply to get help for funding and things like that. And it can go to getting extramural in as well. So, you know, we definitely do not want to duplicate services. We want to connect people to services. And for those services that maybe don't exist, it's to see where we can, you know, have that collaboration and where or how we can support that person or that family to stay in place.
Mm-hmm. We've mentioned aging in place a lot. Why is it worthwhile to keep seniors out of nursing homes and in their own homes? On a sort of population scale, what are the advantages there?
Yeah. Well, one thing that we don't realize is that the majority of older adults actually age in place. We have in Canada, if we look at statistics, we have 92% of adults over the age of 65 that are aging or living in place, if we can say it that way. And it is important. It's also what people want. People want to stay in their homes. They want to remain as independent as possible. But research does show that there are many advantages, either physical health. So we've seen that people who remain in their familiar environment will be more active, will have more activities, will be physically more active. We've also seen the impacts of on mental health as well, to be familiar with your environment. And so it's the benefits go when we talk about health, we talk, we really talk about that physical aspect, but also sort of that mental health and that social health as well. People feel more connected as well. The research even says that people who, seniors who remain in their home will even get more visitors as well, compared to when they relocate to somewhere else and people feel that it's a new environment that they're not familiar with, and people tend to maybe more shy away than to keep visiting. So it's quite interesting what the benefits are, but it's definitely... there are definitely limits as well that I always want to point out. It's although we say, it's important and there are many benefits, there may come a time when it's no longer appropriate. And I think we need to address that as well. It's okay to no longer be able to age in place. And even with Nursing Home Without Walls, we've seen that the transition to nursing homes for the few clients that we've had who needed to transition out of home and go into a nursing home, that transition was a lot easier just because of the contacts they had already had with the nursing home.
Right. So if they've already started to participate in some programming and that sort of thing, then the transition in. I suppose that housing, it can be a big factor in this, because, I know, just thinking of housing in the Sackville area, there's not a lot of older homes. Not a lot of super accessible homes. So people may have spent decades there and had, it had no barriers. But then as you age, I can imagine myself in my own home. I wouldn't be able to live there, past a certain point, I'm sure, just for accessibility reasons. Is that one of the big things that ends up seeing people need to move into, actually change and move into a nursing home?
It's an accumulation, actually, of different aspects. Housing is certainly one of the big issues, especially around stairs. If people need to go to, the second level or to the basement because that's where the laundry room is or things like that, we've seen that for sure be an important factor. But it's also an accumulation. And what I mean by that is that yes, there are housing issues, that's for sure. And, maintaining the big house and in rural communities, not necessarily having access to apartments or different types of housing. It's either the big family home or the nursing home. And we've seen that in many other communities as well. But the reason for relocating is also about, being able to access the support that you feel you need at the appropriate time. And it's not necessarily medical support or nursing support. It's all of those aspects that Nursing Home Without Walls brings forward. And it's also, again, with the accumulation, it's also the feeling of security. A lot of seniors have told us that they've relocated because they just didn't feel safe remaining in their home. Either they were, realizing that their housing situation was no longer safe for them, fear of falling and things like that, or they just didn't feel that they could continue to live alone. When people are partnered or in a couple, it's very different. A lot of times one person will, be dependent or, will count on the other person to help out. But when they become either widowed or have been living alone, and there are aspects of their health that start to deteriorate and the needs are there, those, I want to say those little things, you know, the health deterioration or the health challenges, the cleaning of the house, the maintenance, the regular maintenance, the outside as well, you know, about lawn cutting and snow removal, then transportation, because you may not feel comfortable driving anymore, or you may lose your license. And it's like an accumulation of all these things that at one point, seniors will often say, that's it. I think we've reached the point where we need to relocate. And that's often where we come in as far as Nursing Home Without Walls, and or, you know, social development with an assessment to see, well, you know, what services are needed. And oftentimes, once the services are put in place, people regain that autonomy or independence that they were looking for. And other times, maybe their needs are greater and they do need to be in a special care home or a nursing home, and that's okay as well.
You know, we do have, you know, shortages in all healthcare sectors almost right now. And long-term care is no exception. Do you think that a program like this, I mean, or, you know, I don't even know what kind of statistically did you see results in the pilot that there was a reduced, pressure on waiting lists for long-term care and that sort of thing? Maybe the pilot wasn't big enough to look at that picture. I don't know.
Well, from the pilot and what we're seeing and that we're continuing to look at is, of course, the impact of the project on the whole health system and whatnot. And one thing that has come out, and this is actually out of Port Elgin, so close to where we are talking about, and we've had over half of our participants say that having access to Nursing Home Without Walls actually prevented them from presenting to the emergency department for a non-emergency situation. I want to clarify. but that having access to, you know, to the coordinator or to the navigator to be able to discuss what information they were looking for or what service they were looking for, if we wouldn't have been there, and this is what we've been told. I'm not saying this in a way that necessarily just promotes Nursing Home Without Walls, but the seniors have said, you know, if you wouldn't have been there, I would have had to go to Emerge to ask questions about the services that I would be able to access, and I would probably have waited until it's a crisis situation, and wouldn't have known where to turn. And would have gone to the hospital. And the 65% said that they actually avoided that visit to Emerge for something that was an emergency and referred to the Nursing Home Without Walls coordinator that was able to help out. So I think that's significant. It's only in one community. You know, I'm very conscious of that. There are limits and whatnot. But the impact has been very, very positive. It's been welcomed with open arms once people realize that we were not there to put them into the nursing home. Because of the title of Nursing Home Without Walls, people were curious and people weren't sure if, you know, we were there to promote the nursing home. And we were not necessarily there to promote the nursing home. Our importance is there for them to access the services that they need. And but it certainly has had an impact. We've heard of families as well who have noticed the change for the positive in the health of their parent, and all kinds of different situations like that.
Mm-hmm. You must have been pleased, I guess, when you know, the announcement around expanding this program was made this week. Yeah.
Pleased and surprised.
Oh, really? You had no warning?
Well, just a little last-minute warning that something was up, but wasn't clearly told the details, of course, because it is, you know, they do keep those informations under wrap. But, yes, very pleased.
So there's to be 16 new locations over the next 2 years. Do you know if those locations have been identified yet?
I do not, but I have been told that there will be a public process or some kind of application process or something for nursing homes or communities that are interested in moving along with Nursing Home Without Walls. But I believe that will be of the purview of the provincial government. And I'm not sure the details have all been worked out, but it is exciting because we are talking about still quite of a short term. I mean, we are talking about the next 2 years. And so I think that's very exciting. And from what we've seen in the four communities that we're in, it's like I said, it's very positive. And of course, it does have its challenges and whatnot, but it does seem to respond to what seniors are looking for to age in place. So yes, very pleased and very much looking forward to the process of how these other nursing homes will be selected, because I've been doing groundwork on identifying the needs of certain older adults in other New Brunswick communities with nursing homes that aren't part of the pilot project. So I'm sure they'll be interested in moving forward and hopefully showing interest.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Dr. Dupuis-Blanchard, for telling us about this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your interest. It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Suzanne Dupuis-Blanchard, founder of Nursing Home Without Walls. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Monday, November 22nd. As always, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.